In 1900, about 2 out of every 100 cancer patients survived the disease with what is termed a cure, surgery. Today, almost 25 out of every 100 patients, after 5 years, are still alive.
That's a good figure, but not good enough.
What about the other 75 patients who died?
Well, folks, that's a pretty vague idea of a couple of important things that happened in the past. But now, it's time for us to examine the present, today. What's happening today that holds promise for a bright tomorrow? Now, in 30 short minutes, we couldn't possibly hope to tell you the whole story, but we'll give you a fragment. As of now, there are only 3 proven cures.
Surgery, X-ray, radio.
Only 3 methods that can cure. Thousands of chemicals have been screened against cancer in laboratory animals. Only a few are of some value. Right now, there's an important experiment being conducted at the University of Wisconsin.
Modern investigative methods are making it possible to understand how the cancer cell manufactures its protein substance. And it appears that how the cancer cell does this is different from the way the normal cell does it. Therefore, it now becomes possible to deliberately interrupt the chemistry of the cancer cell, and thereby to prevent the cell's reproduction. But, so far, the effective anti-cancer compound has also damaged, to an undesirable degree, the normal cell.
In other words, many thousands of chemical compounds have been concocted in the hopes that one of them will be the right mixture, the right degree, the right cure. Now listen to what they've learned at Alabama Polytechnic Institute.
By experiment, we're being led to believe that the diet has an enormous influence on the development of some experimental tumors in animals. We've seen fat and well-fed animals develop more tumors than their skinny, semi-starved relatives.
And fat people have more cancer than skinny ones, huh?
Yes, sir. Cancer occurs more often in fat people, but thin people have cancer, too. That's one of our problems.
Problems. Millions of problems are posed for the scientists. Listen to what's happening at Jefferson Medical College in Philadelphia.
Well, we've confined our search to gene-containing chromosomes. In transplanting them to animals, we've found that they are more potent cancer producers than entire cancer cells themselves.
Yeah, probing into the very origins of our sex. Is that where one solution of cancer control may exist?
We don't know. We experiment. We'll keep on experimenting. One of these days, we will know.
Yes, the search goes on and on and on, experiment after experiment. Rewards? Sometimes. Sometimes there are rewards.
Oh, Mr. Stewart.
Yeah.
May I show you something?
Yeah, of course.
Right here in the lab.
Oh, wow. What is it?
Well, this is what we affectionately call an atomic oven.
Atomic bombs, tanks, toys, wrestlers, and now ovens, huh? What would they think of next? Well, what do you cook?
Chemical compounds are cooked in this atomic oven until they carry a heavy charge of radioactivity.
What for?
Well, these compounds are fed or injected into the cancer patients or implanted directly into tumors.
Well, what are some of them?
Radioactive iodine is one. This usually settles in the tumor of about 1/5 of the patients who have thyroid cancer. And then there's cobalt. This substance, in many cases, can take the place of radium. It's cheaper than radium and carries a wide range of radioactive charges. A golf ball-sized chunk of cobalt, cooked for 18 months, will actually deliver to deep-seated tumors rays that are comparable to a 2-million-volt X-ray machine.
Well, are cobalt and iodine the only ones?
No, there's sodium and phosphorus, sodium and bromine, tantalum, and gold.
Gold?
Yes. The very inert property of gold makes it very helpful in this approach to the disease.
And that's the oven that does it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You call it the atomic oven, huh?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. What didn't they think of next?
The use of radiation has been broadened by new radioactive substances. And the experiments go on and on and on. the experiments of radioactive byproducts of the atomic stockpile. Radium is the third major method of cancer control. Surgery, X-ray, and radium.
This next story is a story of a woman named Ruth Morris. She lives up in San Francisco. This incident took place between Ruth and her husband, Andy, in their home one Sunday afternoon.
Ruthie! Ruth!
You don't have to yell, Andy. I'm right here.
I'm sorry, honey. Hey, do you know where I put that hunk of black tape? I want
to... Now, how should I know where your black tape is? You always ask me such stupid questions. How should I know? You put things away, and then you...
Wait a minute. Take it easy, Ruthie, baby. You don't have to jump down my throat. All I did was...
I'm sorry, Andy. I...
What's wrong, honey? You sure been acting funny all morning long.
Well, it's just that off day that comes my way once every month.
Oh. Hey, wait a minute. Is it time? I thought it was just last
week. It was. I guess I'm just a little early.
A little early? Huh. Hey, Ruth, maybe you better call Dr. Havens and talk to him.
Oh, now, Andy, don't worry.
Ruth, I'm not worried, but call Dr. Havens anyway. You never know.
Andy, there's nothing wrong.
Look, Ruth, call Dr. Havens. If you don't, I will.
Right. Anything to make you happy.
Ruth Morris called her family physician. And then the following Monday morning, she went to see him. He did a thorough examination. 3 days later, she was back for the results.
Well, doctor?
Sit down, Ruth. Go ahead.
You sound awfully serious, doctor. What is it?
Ruth, you have cancer of the uterus.
Oh, no. Oh.
Now, it's nothing to be afraid of, Ruth. It happens to many women your own age. However, I don't want to seem optimistic about it, but I think there's an excellent chance to cure you with radiation.
Radiation? I've never heard of that.
Nothing new, Ruth. It's your best hope.
Ruth Morris underwent extensive radiation treatment. Today, she's a healthy woman again.
Today, there's a growing awareness of the real nature of cancer. In place of the shame that formerly surrounded cancer, there's a healthy recognition that this disease can strike any of us, regardless of age, religion, color of skin, or social position.
Well, we have a somewhat vague idea of what took place in the past. We know a little of what's going on now, but now what about the future? Well, the future holds promise. Yes, it does.
Better education of the public. A more informed medical profession. Service to the cancer patient.
Research, education, and service. Is that it?
That's right.
Well, let's start with education. Now, what about education?
The American Cancer Society spends millions of dollars each year telling the people the facts of cancer. Facts that save so many lives. For instance, informing them of the 7 danger signals of cancer.
Any sore that doesn't heal. A lump or thickening in the breast or elsewhere. Unusual bleeding or discharge. Any change in a wart or mole. Persistent indigestion or difficulty in swallowing. A persistent hoarseness or cough. Any change in normal bowel habits.
All too often, people still persist in home remedies.
Home remedies?
Baking soda or Dr. Cure-All's pills that don't have any effect on cancer of the stomach.
Yeah, I think I see what you mean.
As an example, let's look in on a scene that took place in a newspaper office.
Hey, Harry, if you can look up from your typewriter for a minute, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yeah?
Jack told me a friend of yours got rid of his hemorrhoids.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, how'd he do it?
Oh, got some suppositories. Said they were great. They disappeared completely.
Hey, find out what that stuff was, will you? I'd like to try some. Maybe I can get rid of mine. Find out.
Suppositories may give you momentary relief. But if it's cancer, then you're losing your chance for the most precious thing in the world, early diagnosis.
Early diagnosis, I see.
Treatment of cancer in time means life. treatment too late means tragedy.
Then cancer is curable, provided it's treated in time.
Yes, many forms of cancer.
Well, then there is promise of a bright tomorrow.
Definitely.
And who is responsible for this promise?
The people.
Well, that's it, folks. It's as simple as that. This gentleman here says it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to all of us to strike out this vicious disease. And, of course, the big question on everybody's mind is, how do we do it? How do we join ranks and wipe out this traitor within? Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of Hollywood's most distinguished citizens will answer that question for you. And I'm very honored and privileged to introduce him to you right now. Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Medical research has had a wonderful record of achievement in the fight against the most dread of all diseases, cancer. In over 200 institutions located in all sections of our country, the nation's scientists are working day and night unraveling the web of mystery that surrounds the very nature of cancer. It has been the researcher in the laboratory who has helped us most in our progress. It will be the researcher who will bring us still further advances. Do we dare look forward to a day in 1973 when this takes place in a doctor's office?
What were the results of my smear test, Dr. Collins?
You have cancer of the kidney, Mrs. Downs.
Cancer?
Yes. Back in 1953, this might have been a very serious problem. But not now, not today. I'll just fill this prescription out for you.
Just a prescription?
Yes. I just take this to your druggist.
When can I expect results, Doctor?
Immediately. It's no worse than a bad cold.
Yes, my friends, we may look forward to that day. It's not a wild dream. And you are the ones who will make this dream come true. Through organizations such as the American Cancer Society. I think it's a remarkable tribute to you and the American Cancer Society that it is supported solely by your contributions and has devoted some $24.5 million to cancer research since 1945. The American Cancer Society, leading the fight to conquer cancer, needs your continued help. Someday the fight will be won. How soon that day will be depends in large on the American public. We must all join this crusade against cancer, giving as generously as we can. Remember, research, education, and service to cancer patients are the three life-saving programs of the American Cancer Society in its effective fight against this vicious killer, which strikes one person in every five. And one family in every two. We must strike back. We should support the American Cancer Society. Please send your contributions to Cancer, care of your local postmaster. Just write Cancer, care of postmaster. We must make our dollars bring cancer under control.
Thank you, Mr. DeMille. Well, folks, there isn't anything more to be said. You've heard what we had to say in just 30 minutes. You've heard what we had to say about cancer. I assure you, the words were carefully chosen. And there were a lot of people who had to do with bringing you these words. Our thanks to Dr. Ian McDonald, who served as technical consultant, Miss Jo Dickey, the production coordinator, Robert Armbruster, our musical director, who composed a special musical score, Richard George Petticini, the writer, our technician, Leon Fry, and Harry Bubeck, the producer-director. And, of course, a special note of thanks to NBC for giving us all the time to bring this to you. So long, folks.
Thank you, Jimmy Stewart.
Portions of this program were transcribed. This is NBC.